Okay, would you turn your Bible to the Colossians? Colossians. And we will start. The churches in New Testament era were not as nearly as attractive as some would make it out to be. And I've seen some people, some churches saying New Testament church. Okay, what are you trying to tell me? Is a first century New Testament church is better than 21st century? Not at all. As we will study the 1 Corinthian church, after we finish the harmony of the gospel, you will know that that church was a really problem church. I rather live in the time we expect in Jesus' return. That's more, to me, that's more exciting than at the beginning. Besides, first century church did not have a high-speed internet. So why do I want to be there, right? The first century religious movement environment was not pretty much like ours. It was a time of religious mixing with the people borrowing from a little bit of here, a little bit of there. And the difference is one dominant, there is established religions, and pretty much the people flocking into each sect. Nowadays, we are living in an environment where it's a rather information rich. And you can make your own cult because you borrow from here, borrow from there. And you can pretty much make your own religion by simply consulting Google. Whatever the problem was, that Paul, the Apostle Paul, stick with the solution which is better understanding of Jesus. Knowing the real Jesus help us stay away from the counterfeit, and no matter how it is packaged nicely. You know, when you think about the Seventh-day Adventist, when you think about some of the religions, you think that, what's wrong with that? Like a sickle-sensitive church. When you read a church statement of faith on the website, you cannot tell the difference because it clearly says that Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven. And man's sin need to be forgiven by the atonement. You see all that, but that church is known for the sickle-sensitive movement. I'm talking about Mars Hills up in Minnesota. And it was done by the Brian... My mind went blank. He was a big emergent church movement and sickle-sensitive movement guy. And by just reading, I went to their website, reading their statement of faith, you cannot tell the difference. So it doesn't matter how it packages, counterfeit religion is counterfeit religion. Let's stop and pray. Father, we do not desire to follow man, but we only want to follow you through your word. Teach us to stay in the course, to know your truth in your ways only. By doing so, we will know when the counterfeit comes along. We don't need to study the counterfeit religion. By knowing your word, knowing your ways, we will know them. Father, we are asking you to teach us preeminence and the supremacy of our Lord Jesus Christ. He alone received glory and honor throughout our lives and evermore. Pray this in Jesus' name. Verse 1 of Colossians chapter 1, please. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. The author of this letter to the Colossians is the Apostle Paul, obviously. Many scholars, Bible scholars, believe that he wrote this sometime between 60 through 62 AD. 60 through 62 AD. While he was in the Roman dungeon, the prison, for 6 years before his death. Hold on. But the report from the Epaphras, Epaphras, who was the leader of the church of Colossae, and he was obviously a convert from his two-year ministry in Ephesus, he consulted with Paul regarding dangerous teaching the Colossians are hearing. So Paul sent his letter along with the letters to Philemon and Ephesians by Tychicus, and accompanied by Onesimus. And Tychicus was the co-worker of Paul who would be able to help the Colossian believers to understand and apply Apostles' teaching of the letter. Go down to verse 2, please. Now we see about the Colossae here. To the saint and the faithful brethren in Christ who were in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It was written to the people living in what is called the Lycus Valley. Lycus Valley contained three important cities. One is Laodicea. Does that sound familiar to you, Laodicea? Of course, you remember Revelation chapter, was it 2 or 3? 3? Okay. Jesus called them lukewarm church. They were neither hot nor cold. And Jesus even said, like no other church, he said, I wish you were either cold or hot. Because you are not, I would spew you out of my mouth. Bad, bad commendation. Anyway, in the Laodicea and Hierapolis and Colossae, three communities. This area was an intersection between the Eastern and Western Europe and Western culture because the important trade route passed through there. I think there's a ringing. Colossae was located about 100 miles east of Ephesus. Though once the leading city in Asia Minor, it turned out to be a second-rate city eventually. All kind of philosophy mingled in this cosmopolitan area. There was a large Jewish colony in Colossae, and there was also a constant influx of the new ideas and doctrines from the East. It was a fertile ground for religious speculation and heresies. The word you need to fill in is heresies. Actually, the city of Colossae is not even mentioned in the book of Acts. Apostle Paul never been in this city. It was not mentioned in any of his journeys. We can get the information of the Colossians from this book and also from the book of Philemon. So what is the purpose of this book? As with most of the Apostle Paul's letter, this epistle contains two sections. First two chapters talk about doctrinal teachings with practical applications in chapter 3 and chapter 4. You following me so far? The first two chapters contain some of Paul's most eloquent writing about the supremacy of Jesus Christ and reconciliation of God and folly of following man-made rules. The last two chapters shows a practical application that we can get from the foundation the Holy Spirit laid down through the Apostle Paul. Remember when we studied the book of Ephesians? Then we had the same situation. First three chapters, doctrinal teaching, and the last three chapters, what were they? Applications. Same thing again, the Philippians. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians was written and sent out at the same time as this Colossian letter. Keeping this in mind, we can discover the many parallels between book of Ephesians and book of Colossians. However, emphasis in Ephesians is on the church, the body of Jesus Christ. On the church, the body of Jesus Christ. But the emphasis in the collection is on Jesus Christ, the head of the body. In this letter, Paul used the vocabulary of the false teachers, which they stole, and he did not use the same, but however, he did not use the same definition that the false teachers use. Those words are such as fullness, perfect, and complete, and wisdom. He used Christian definition. And the false teachers that we will find, they are the Gnostic people. The church at Colossae were under attack from the heretic who were disparaging the deity of Jesus Christ. They were teaching that Jesus was not actually God. Have you heard that from other cults? In case you notice, every single cult denied the deity of Jesus Christ. The nature of Jesus Christ as a creator and the redeemer was non-negotiable. That's something you need to write down. Non-negotiable. And it was critical to the apostle that this church need to know God in his greatness and glory rather than deficient view given them by these false teachers. What are the false teachings by the Gnostics? See, the Colossians had become the target of mixed religious philosophies that had potential to lead them into the disaster as a church. I had a young man who tried to tell me that he liked to evangelize, but with a philosophy. I told him right away, you don't need to evangelize to the people with a philosophy. You evangelize to others with this book. Nothing other than this book. Philosophy is human opinion. You understand? When I was young and in the college, I thought about doing the art philosophy and major. What a stupid idea that was. The false teaching seemed to be a combination of Jewish legalism and dangerous heresy called Gnosticism. G-N-O-S-T-I-C-I-S-M. I'll spell it again. G-N-O-S-T-I-C-I-S-M. The word is derived from Gnosis, N-G-N-O-S-I-S. The Greek word for that is knowledge. Definition means knowledge. Did you notice? I don't know how many of you guys know this. In Greek word and the Latin word, you have a noun and you put the A, a lot of times it becomes an opposite word. Gnosis, and you put the A and it becomes opposite word of Gnosis. So what is the opposite of knowledge? Gnosis, A, put you, Gnosis, ignorant. We get the English word, the Latin word, ignoramus, and we get the English word, ignorant. Same thing. Because the English word get influenced by the Latin and the Greek word a lot, you heard the word atheist, right? But the opposite word, you take the A of theist. I was at the Fry's parking lot on Sararita there. I was passing by his car, but somehow one particular word caught my eyes, from the corner of my eyes. It said theist, T-H-E-I-S-T. I thought, wow, theist. That's rather unusual. But then I realized there's a U of A logo, A. Next to it is a theist. What he's trying to say is he's an atheist. I'm sure he thought he's very clever by doing so. And I looked at it and I was thinking, Lord, he keeps it up, he's going to end up in hell. Gnostics claimed that they had the secret knowledge. It was necessary in order to gain salvation. It was a secret information available only to the exclusive group, elitist. Net result, And they say, well, Jesus is good. He's a good man. You need to follow. But Jesus does not give you the true salvation because you need to have a knowledge through us. What does it make them to be? Better, higher level than Jesus. Am I making sense? And that's a garbage doctrine they are selling to the people of Colossae. Notice how this arrogant message tried to cunningly undermine Jesus Christ and attack his adequacy. That's the word, adequacy, to be all we need for salvation. That's why Paul stressed the supremacy, that's another word, supremacy of Jesus Christ in the strongest term. So those two words is adequacy and supremacy. The Gnostic people also held to the form of astrology. They said that they believed in the angel beings, ruled the stars, influenced the affairs on earth. In their mind, angelic beings were just another gods. Added to this Eastern speculation was a form of a Jewish legalism. The teachers believed that the rite of the circumcision, that's the word, circumcision, was helpful in the spiritual development. They taught that the Old Testament law, especially dietary law, was also useful in the adding spiritual perfection. After the death of Jesus Christ and resurrection, many priests and Pharisees became the followers of Jesus Christ. They came with a baggage, do you know? They came with a baggage. The rituals, they could not quite stay away from the rituals of the Jewish religion. So they said, well, Jesus is the Messiah. But to be really good follower of Jesus Christ, you need to be circumcised. Remember what I told you guys? Jesus plus anything equals nothing. Remember that? Salvation through Jesus Christ plus anything, any human effort equals nothing. That's why I reject the idea of a Seventh-day Adventist doctrine. Because they said, well, you got to do the follow the our dietary laws of, that comes from the Old Testament. You should not do this, you should not do that. And then they hop in the car and travel all the way to the Marana from here. Well, then, if that's the case, if they're following all these dietary laws and the Old Testament rules, they should not travel more than half mile. Well, then why are they rejecting the rest of the Old Testament laws? All right, here's the Apostle Paul's counterattack against this Gnostics and the legalism. In this book, Apostle Paul described Jesus with some of the loftiest language in all the New Testament, focusing on Christ's preeminence. The word is preeminence. And sufficiency in all things. Paul presents Christ as the center of the universe, not only as the active creator, but also as the recipient of the creation, because he took the human flesh. Christ was and is a visible image of the invisible God, containing within himself the fullness of deity. Go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, please. Colossians 2, 9. And for him dwell what? All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We know this. Jesus never relinquished being God when he became a man. He was 100% God contained within the 100% humanity. All right. Because of his divine nature, Jesus is a sovereign. above all things with his authority given him by the Father. And he was reconciled all things to himself through his death on the cross, making believers alive to God and setting them on the path of righteous living. The proper view of Christ served as a building block for Christian life and the doctrine both now and forever. Oh, by the way, I missed the one word. He served as the antidote for the Colossian heresy as well as building block for the Christian life. My bad. One thing I cannot overemphasize in this book of Colossians is the Apostle Paul clearly mentioned that Jesus Christ is the creator and the sustainer of the universe and all created beings. To learn more about it, we need to get into this portion of the book. Let's start with the image of the invisible God in Colossians 1:15, first half, Colossians 1:15. He, that's Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. Stop there, please. Greek word for the image, do you know what that is? Icon, E-I-K-O-N, icon. English word is what? Icon, I-C-O-N, right? Different spelling. E-I-K-O-N. Apostle Paul used the word image to make this fact clear. It means exact representation. Exact representation. The writer of the book of Hebrews affirmed that Jesus Christ is the express image of his person in Hebrews 1:3. And also, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 9, we went over this, when one of his disciples asked, show us the way to the Father. And he asked, well, it's a rhetorical question, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Remember that? It's only Jesus Christ that is a visible God, is revealed perfectly. Let me say one more time. It is only in Jesus Christ the invisible God is revealed perfectly. With that in mind, no mere creature could explain invisible God in any way, because we have a limited knowledge. But Jesus Christ explained it. That means Jesus has a direct access. What kind of access? Because he's God himself. All right, second point is the firstborn of all creation. Second half of the verse 15. The firstborn over all creation. Now, this is the verse the Jehovah's Witnesses get excited and happy to explain their fabricated doctrine to the people who do not know the truth of Jesus Christ. Obviously, the Jehovah's Witnesses did not understand the definition of Greek word. I'm going to spell it to you. P-R-O-T-O-T-O-K-O-S. P-R-O-T-O-T-O-K-O-S. Prototokos. What does it mean? That's the firstborn, but it has the definition. It's not in the seniority of the timeline. Rather, status. It's not the timeline's firstborn, but it is status. The firstborn of all creation means headship of all creation. Jesus' headship of all creation does not mean that he was born first. Let me make an example. King Solomon, according to the Hebrew, the Old Testament, it means clearly, and even the New Testament said that Solomon, the firstborn of a king, who? David. All right, who is the firstborn? Who was the firstborn? The guy who raped Absalom's sister. Remember him? I forgot, he started with A something. No, not Absalom. this guy raped Absalom's sister, his cousin, I guess. Anyway, he got killed by Absalom's men. But even though he was the firstborn, in the Bible, you see him as Solomon as the firstborn. Because it's a status. You follow me? Yes? No? Third point. By him, all things are created. Verse 16. First half of verse 16. For by him, all things are created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Stop there, please. Now we come to the portion of the scripture that is used by the cult group to justify their doctrines, even though they are the ones who completely misunderstood and twisted. They know that if they accept this portion of the Word of God, they must come to realization that they are cult. What am I saying? Jehovah's Witness Bible, the New World Translation, state that by him they put all other things were created. By saying that, by inserting the word other in verse 16, claim that Jesus is not the Jehovah God, but a Son of God. Actually, Jehovah's Witness is nothing more than a reincarnation of Gnosticism from the first century. Gnosticism from the first century. Ever since the evolution theory came into the picture, there have been a constant argument between the believers of creation fact and evolution theory followers. Tonight's nightly news from CBS, they got excited. They found this jawbone, bottom piece of jawbone. They traced back to 125,000 years. And I was thinking, yeah, you add one extra zero in the back. Earth is very young. And I was talking with the one young man who believed in the Star Wars story than creation fact. I asked him, do you know why the Apollo 11 moon landing craft, the bottom portion is really big? Do you know how big that is? The pod has a full landing pod, shaft. At the bottom of the shaft, they have a disc, this big disc. Do you know why they put that thing on? Because all the NASA scientists believe in evolution. And they were thinking, if the moon is created this many hundreds, millions of years ago, and dust has been settling there, and all that dust, with the weight of the landing craft, it will start to sink. The best way to slow down the sinking rate of the landing craft is having a big disk. Am I making sense? It makes perfect sense, right? If you only have one shaft going down to try to stop, and probably it will go through the dirt, the dust, right? Guess what happened? The landing craft came down, stopped, bounced. And then you guys remember that picture. Neil Armstrong coming off from the ladder. He got down on the ground, and dust flew up. Not humongous dust cloud, just a little dust. And then he did something he was not supposed to do. He started jumping up and down. And he got yelled at by NASA. Because at the time, their astronaut suit was top heavy and back heavy. That was the oxygen tank. As he was jumping up and down, he fell backward. There's no way he can get up like a turtle on the back. So they pretty much told him, knock it off. They found out that dust was only that thick. All of a sudden, their evolution theory with a millions, billions years old moon and they cannot calculate with that justified moon dust is only that thick. Their evolution theory went out the window. You know, I said this. People who rather embrace the evolution theory, they have a practical religion. It requires more faith to believe in evolution than creation. I usually have fun with them. I shouldn't, but I do. And their concept is illogical and fanatic, and it takes more faith to believe theirs than what the Bible says. The word for, at the beginning of that, let's go back to verse 16. For by him, can be translated as a because. See, Jesus is the firstborn of all because he is created being. That's what they say. It's no wonder, but that in truth, he was the master. He's the creator. So no wonder the wind and waves obeyed him while he was walking on earth. And disease and death fled from him. He's the master. He's the creator. Jesus created all things, through, including angels, and some became fallen angels by their own choices. And when we had the discipleship class last time, I asked the guys, Herb knows, I asked them a lot of questions. Keep them on the edge, right? I asked them, when was the angel created? They looked at me like a deer looking at the headlight. I said, it's not in the Bible, mentioned in the Bible, but I'm guessing that within the six days. If it's not, Bible would say so. Speaking of fallen angels, demons, have you ever wondered why they don't get the salvation like humans, since they chose to walk away from God's goodness? God gave us salvation because we have fallen from his grace, right? Why not angels? They are the created beings too. God loves them. Do you know why? More than that, we have a body. We have bodies. Bodies require a redemption. Had to be paid with a price, with the blood. You with me? Angels could repent, but they cannot really have a salvation because they don't have bodies. They are spiritual beings. That's why in the book of Hebrews, angels wanted to see the truly understand the meaning of salvation. They could not. All things are under Jesus' command. Nothing escapes from the Lord's Jesus' acknowledgement. Without his permission, nothing will happen, including the devil, what the devil wants to do. Good example, book of Job. The Satan had to get a permission from God for everything he wanted to do against Job. God gave him boundary. Four things that we find in the second half of verse 16. All things were created through him for him, exactly. All things were created through him and for him. Everything exists in him. The preposition word is in him, for him, and through him. In him, for him, and through him. Jesus is the object of all creations. We are created for his pleasure. We all once were unbelievers in the past. Until we came to know Christ as our Savior and Lord, we knew that something was missing in our lives. We couldn't be satisfied unless we come to know him. Saint Augustine said this. I liked what he said. We are restless until we come to rest in God. Isn't that good? We are restless until we come to rest in God. Apostle Paul used three different prepositions, one way of refuting the philosophy of the false teachers. For centuries, Greek philosopher has taught that everything needs primary cause, instrumental cause, and final cause. Primary cause, instrumental cause, and the final cause. Primary cause is the plan, and the instrumental cause is the power, and the final cause is the purpose. When it comes to creation, Jesus Christ is the primary cause because He planned it, and He is the instrumental cause because He produced it, and He is the final cause because He did it for His own pleasure. And some people will say, well, isn't that selfish? His universe, right? His own creation. He can do whatever He wants to do. Go down to verse 17, please. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. A group of people took the tour in atomic laboratory long ago, and they were explained how all the matters are composed of rapidly moving electric particles way above my head. Tourists studied the model of molecule and were amazed to learn the matter is made up of primarily of space. During the question period, one visitor asked, if this is the way matter works, what holds them all together? For that guy had no answer. He can explain how to human knows how to split the atom. Do you know where we use that? Atomic bomb. When you split the atom, and there's a tremendous energy released, and it's not just one atom. When you split many, many atoms, you get a tremendous amount of energy instantly and blow up everything around for many miles and destroy everything in its path. But they don't know how to hold all the atoms together. So we know who is holding every atom in its place. Again, this is another affirmation that Jesus Christ is God. Another affirmation that Jesus Christ is God. Only God exists before all of creation, and only God made the creation held together. The words are held together. To make Jesus Christ less than God is a useless attempt to dethrone Him. As we studied in Colossians, Jesus is not only the creator, He is the sustainer. If He chooses to say, okay, I'm tired of you guys, all of you, then that would be the end of us. So application is here. Jesus must be the first priority. Jesus must be the first priority and preeminence in our lives. Okay, I'm going to do a spell check after you guys finish. That would be fun. Don't compete with my wife when it comes to spell check. She's a whiz. All right, let's pray.